stand. You may be seated. Our scripture reading will come from Zechariah, chapter 1. We will read the first 6 verses. Zechariah. Beginning with the first verse of chapter 1. In the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, "The Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers to whom the former prophets cried out. Thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I command my servants, the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? And so they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts purposed to deal with us for our ways and deeds, so has he dealt with us." Thus we've read the first 6 verses of chapter 1. Zechariah was a prophet after the return of the children of Israel from exile. Says here that it's in the 2nd year of the reign of Darius. The people of Jerusalem have returned after 70 years apart from their land. They have been allowed back, and now they are attempting to rebuild what had been destroyed, both the city of Jerusalem and the temple itself. Zechariah is a contemporary of the prophet Haggai, who was specifically prophesying and teaching them to rebuild the temple. Zechariah here is prophesying and commanding them to rebuild their relationship with God. And it begins with this first vision, or the first word of the Lord that comes to the prophet. And he proclaims, return to me, and I will return to you. Which I believe is the theme of the book. We will see this theme return to, and the glory of God returning to us and giving us the Savior and giving us the promises of the Savior. But here we can see in this first prophecy of Zechariah, lessons about repentance. We see the necessity of repentance, the object of repentance, and the goal of repentance. The first is the necessity, where it is proclaimed, return to me, and I will return to you. That God will return to them, that He will restore them, He will bless them again, He will be their God, and they will be His people, and He will dwell among them. But He will not overlook their sin. That's why it is necessary that first they return to Him, that they repent of their sins. Because without repentance, there can be no reconciliation, and God will not return to sinners who are unrepentant in their hearts. And He will not leave them in their sin, and He will not tolerate the sinful behavior. The holiness of God demands nothing less. They must leave behind their evil ways if they expect to have the blessings of God again. If they expect God to return to them. If they expect to be the people of God, then they cannot live like the pagans. He will not come among them and pretend that their sin is okay or acceptable, for it is not. Sin is not to be in His presence, and He will not have His people polluted with sin. It must be dealt with. And so He gives them this call, return to Me, and I will return to you. Repent of your sins, is what He's saying. Come back to Jehovah. He calls them to leave their sin behind. And that the broken relationship, if they can do that, the broken relationship with God will be restored. Because that which broke the relationship is sin. And that is what needs to then be removed and has to be dealt with. Zechariah even then goes as far as to bring up an example of what happens when the people refuse to repent and stay in their sin and continue to practice their pagan ways. He brings up what happened to their fathers. He brings up the exile. He says, remember your fathers. Don't be like your fathers. In verse 4, the former prophets cried out to them and gave them the same message, repent of your sin or else the Lord will deal harshly with you. Return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But those people did not hear the message. They did not listen when the prophets that went among them cried out, return to the Lord. And every one of the people that he was preaching to would have known exactly what the result was. The Babylonians came and the Babylonians conquered. And they destroyed all things. They tore down the temple. They took people captive. First they took the king and the leaders. And then they came back and they took even more people. Thousands of people they carried off who lived in Babylon. And now these people are returning. Taking the trip back, remembering all the time that this is because their fathers did not listen to the prophets. This is because of the sin of the people of Israel that they were taken away and now have to come back. And when they came back, there's Jerusalem in ruins. They could see there's the mountain where the temple used to be. The Babylonians ravaged the city and they ravaged the land. They ravaged the people of Israel. And we see exactly why here. Because they did not heed the word of the Lord. They did not turn from their evil ways and return to the Lord. And eventually it says in verse 6 that they were overtaken by the word of the Lord and they repented and said, the Lord has purposed to deal with us for our ways and our deeds, and so He has dealt with us. In other words, as they were coming through and everything was being destroyed, they said, this is what God warned us about. He told us this would happen. We didn't listen. We didn't believe. And now the Lord of hosts has shown what happens to those who reject the call. Return to Me and I will return to you. There was no denying. In other words, verse 6, they were unable to deny that they deserved every bit of what the Lord did to them, of what the Babylonians had done. Because without repentance, one can only expect the wrath of God. If one lives in his sin and does not repent and does not believe, then the wrath of God is what you will get. Repentance is a necessary thing. But we also see the object of repentance, that we are to turn from our sins and turn to God. It is a recall to return to Me, says the Lord of hosts. His call for repentance is a call that demands that people return to Him. Return to Me, in verse 3. Zechariah explains later down in the verse, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds, but return to God. It is indeed a turning away from the sin, as our catechism so beautifully puts it, that it is a heartfelt sorrow from sin causing us to hate it and turn from it. And God is calling them here to turn from their sins, to leave them behind, to no longer live in this sinful way, in the sinful lifestyle, or as Paul puts it in Colossians, to mortify the deeds of your flesh, or to put off the old man, as it says in Ephesians. But it's not enough to simply quit a sin. A true repentance includes a turning to God, a return to Him. It's not just about stopping sin or stopping a particular sin. That gets one nowhere. If I'm a drunk, it's not enough for me simply to stop drinking. If I'm a thief, it's not enough for me simply to stop stealing. If I'm an adulterer, it's not enough for me to simply stop committing adultery. I might stop those particular sins, but I haven't dealt with my alienation from God. I haven't dealt with the root issue. Return to me, he says. He doesn't just give a call that says, I need you to stop doing the idolatry, and I need you to stop this sin, and stop being mean to other people, and stop cheating. He doesn't do that. It is a return to me. Calling them back into a relationship with Him. Or as our catechism puts it, a heartfelt joy in God through Christ, causing us to delight in living according to His will. A heartfelt joy in God through Christ. That is what a return to me is. That our heart not only hates sin and turns from it, but turns to the Savior and delights in Him. Too often when we speak about repentance, we put the focus simply on the outward sin and say, what you need to do is avoid this and stop this. And we don't emphasize the other part of repentance, that it is a turning to someone, namely God through Christ. That repentance is a call to return to the Lord. Yes, it means leaving behind our sins, but fundamentally it still is a returning to God. Going back to Him, which we know is possible only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Zechariah's call to return to God here is not divorced from Christ. Remember, this proclamation is going on as the temple is being rebuilt. The temple that foreshadows Jesus Christ. The call to repent is simultaneous to the reconstruction of the sign of sacrifices, of the priesthood, of God dwelling among the people. All of which point directly to Jesus Christ. He is the center of our repentance. And no repentance is possible without Jesus Christ. Thus the object of repentance is God Himself, turning away from our sins and turning towards Him. Which leads us to the goal of repentance that Zechariah is talking about. And that goal is a restoration with God. Verse 2 says, the Lord was very angry with your fathers. Don't read over this opening line very lightly. God was very angry. He's upset at their behavior, which then is described later. They had fallen into sin, into grievous sin, and they were told to return from their evil deeds and their evil ways, which characterized their life. Which is why God was very angry. If they had turned from their sin, when He had called them to repent, and it's like verse 4, God would have restored that relationship. But we're told that they ignored, and they didn't believe until they got what they deserved in verse 6. The goal of repentance is to restore a right relationship with God. Which is what Zechariah is calling the current Israelites to do. You have returned to the land. They are coming back, but he is telling them, this does not mean that everything is hunky-dory. God is letting you come back. The exile is over, but do not neglect your relationship with God. Do not think, well, I'm back in Jerusalem. I'm back in the promised land. Everything's fine. I can continue living my life just as I did before anything happened. He's saying, you've come back now. Return to the Lord spiritually as well, and He will return to you. Just because they are in the promised land does not mean that everything has been restored. They have not yet fixed their problem with God. They haven't yet fixed their heart problem. The goal of what Zechariah is calling them to is to restore them to that right relationship with God, to bring them again into His favor. Those who harbor sin and do not believe and do not have faith cannot be received by God. And so He has sent the prophet to proclaim to them, repent. Repent and believe, and God will return to you. Notice how broad this call is. All who do so are received. Return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. There's no ifs, ands, or buts in there. Return to me, and I will return to you. It is His promise. If you repent and believe, He will return to you. He will hear you. He will save you from your sins. It doesn't matter how evil those ways were or how evil your current deeds are. Repentance and faith is what is required. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. When people ask the apostles, what must I do to be saved? Repent and believe. And you will be saved. That call is for everyone. It doesn't say, well, maybe we'll talk about it. If you repent and believe, then we'll see. That'll get you into the judging room and we'll decide whether you're good enough to stay. That's not what it says. I will return to you. You'll find people who will say, well, what I've done is too bad and it's too awful and God won't take me in, or He can't forgive me because of how horrible my sins are. There's no hint of such a thing in these verses. Return. It doesn't matter what your evil deeds and your evil ways were. Return from your evil ways. Return from your evil deeds and God will return to you. Case closed. There are no qualifiers, no restrictions, no fine print. No 30-day trial period, no money-back guarantee. This is it. Those who repent of their sins and have faith in the Lord will be saved. He will draw the near to them. They will not be turned away at the door. God is promising His covenantal loving kindness to those who return to Him. Anyone who returns to Him, no matter what sins they've done or how heinous their past is or how heinous their past has been, His love and His mercy is greater than their sin. And we should know this even more than the people in Zechariah's time, because we have seen what He has done. That He gave us His only begotten Son in Jesus Christ, and that He suffered on the cross for us. All of these things were in the future when Zechariah is proclaiming this, but we now know and we can see how serious God is about this call. That He didn't spare His only begotten Son. And that Jesus Christ came and willingly suffered and died for us, and He has paid our sin. Our sins have been dealt with if we believe in Him. If we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. then He will return to us, that He will draw near to us, and He will hold us in His hand and raise us up on the last day. Which leads me to some applications. The first application here is that men perish and fade, but God's Word abides forever. His promises are sure. Notice the repetition of says the Lord of hosts and declares the Lord. In these six verses, the phrases or similar constructions occur at least 7 times. Because He is drawing our attention that these are the words of the Lord and they last forever. This promise is not just for the people who are coming back from the exile. This promise was not just for the people who could hear Zechariah's voice. These promises are for anyone because the Word of the Lord does not fail. It does not fade. It does not go away. It remains true. It was proven true. As He says in verse 5, your fathers, where are they? The prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? The words came true. And even though that the prophets have died, their word of the Lord remains. Even though that generation has passed on, we can know that the call of God, return to me and I will return to you, is just as valid now as it was then. Return from your evil ways and your evil deeds, and the Lord will return to you. The relationship can be restored with repentance and faith. Ignoring it doesn't make it any less true. Killing the messenger doesn't make it less true. The passing of time doesn't make it any less true than the minute it was spoken. Says, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Because He wants us to understand who it is that is speaking and who we ought to be paying attention to. We would be wise to give attention to the word of the Lord of hosts. Because it will never fade and it will never go away. And may we never forget. Second application is that only in Christ can our sins be forgiven. Don't misconstrue the words here. Don't make it say, well, Zechariah is saying if I just stop my evil sinning, then I'm good enough. Or if I do X, Y, and Z, I'll make it in. That's not what he's saying. As Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. The only way to return to me is through Jesus Christ. It's through the cross of Jesus Christ. We can't earn our way back. This is a call to repentance. It's not a call to self-glorification. We don't get to say, well, okay, I'll stop my thieving and I'll stop my sinning and I'll stop my lying and what I'll do is I'll go help someone over here and I'll help someone over here and I'll pile on a couple of good works and I'll be able to stand on top of the good works and that'll make me back and God will see me then. That's not what Zechariah is saying. Return to me and I will return to you. And we know the only way to return to God is through believing in what His Son has done for us. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came to take away the sins of the world. The only way for our sins to be dealt with is through the blood of the Savior. The only way we can leave behind our evil ways and our evil deeds is through faith in Jesus Christ. Only then can our sins ever be truly dealt with, which leads me to a third application, that we need to understand that even repentance is a gift. That we are called to repent, But don't think it's something you can do on your own strength and your own power. Repentance can only be done in the strength of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:25 clearly states, God will grant them repentance. Repentance coming from the grace of God. Acts 5:31 speaks of God giving repentance out to the people who believe. Because both are gifts of the Lord. And we could go on forever with all of the examples of God opening up hearts and giving new hearts to desire the Word of God, such as Lydia in Acts 16 or Ezekiel all throughout the book. This call is for you. It is a call to repent of your sins and flee the wrath that is to come. But realize that even your fleeing and your repentance is still God's grace shown in you. We are not to be like the Pharisees who come in order to beat our chest and say, look what I have done. But instead, we're to be like the publican, the sinner, who goes on his knees and knows that even his repentance comes from the Lord. Let us now go to Him and ask His grace and mercy in prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank You for the promise that You have told us that You will return to us if we return to You. Lord, we ask for the strength and the gift of repentance to be able to do so. Give us the heart that looks to You, that desires Your Word. Lord, we thank You for Your Son, in whom we can have forgiveness of our sins. And we understand that our sins are an affront to Your high and holy majesty. And that You are very angry with our sins, Lord. And we thank You that in Your patience and Your loving kindness and in the blood of Jesus Christ, we can find forgiveness.